B-Pod Studios.
We got a real treat. I always talk about this guy. He is one of the great writers of our time. I highly recommend you read him. Go back and read all the archives. He's amazing. And he's one of our own who lives in South Carolina now. And he's an incredible. He actually was amazing because he actually worked in Philadelphia. Formerly of Sports Illustrated, Gary Smith joins us. Gary!
How's it going, Anthony?
Hey, brother.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah. We can't replicate the entire conversation that we had, but let's try. let's try.
People don't have 2 hours here?
I know. I swear, you and I could have gone on for even more hours.
Do it apart.
Right? Because we're so utterly fascinated by this team, and we share that innate curiosity.
You've heard of the land of a thousand legs. This is the band of a thousand riddles, this team.
Yes, 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 yes. So let's begin with, you have watched every game. You're fixated by them. And where are you here at this moment after they get the win? Again, it was at home, not on the road, last night. Where are you with them?
You know, I could give you great arguments why they're going to be in the NBA Finals. I mean, every matchup in the Eastern Conference playoffs, if you just look at that matchup, I have to pick them. Now go to the other side of the board, and I have never seen a team that was with a 333 road winning percentage make it to the NBA Finals. I've never seen a team that just, you know, looks so ineffectual, so awkward in a half court set make it to the NBA Finals. I mean, I can give you now 5 reasons why, you know, this team isn't tough enough psychologically, why it's not smart enough, basketball IQ. You know, and we can go on into deeper reasons why, but why this team could, I'd love to challenge our audience to, you know, the audience there to come up with a team that falls down so hard on its face in critical moments. And it's, you know, this, you know, challenged on the road that's made it to an NBA Finals or won one. I mean, as soon as you point it out, find it for me, I'll feel a little better. But then I keep going back to, I pick them in every single Eastern Conference playoff round. There's no compelling reason why they shouldn't beat all 3 or 4 of those teams, you know, that they'd be facing.
Right. And it's their incredible uniqueness and listen, you've been around sports, you know, for a long time. You have gotten into some of the incredible stories in every sport and some of the incredible figures. There's really not a team like them because of their uniqueness, of that they could and probably should beat every matchup, including Milwaukee.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're built for, you know, as we all know, for defense, gritty, you know, it's just bizarre. I mean, here's a team that's built on grit, determination, character right now. But here's where the conundrum start, you know, occurring is at the very center of that team is a player whose grit, consistency of effort is highly questionable. He's not as engaged too often as he needs to be. And so it's like,
and this is Joel.
Value system. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry for not stating the obvious, but anyway, yeah, you're building a team with a core value system of that. And yet the burning sun at the center of that value system doesn't exhibit those properties, those values. So, you know, that puts Brett in a real conundrum. Because you're the center of the best player on a team radiates a value system that affects the other players. And so how do you hang this identity and brandish it on your forehead, which was the proper one? I mean, Brett got that right. I loved in the offseason that he made that kind of switch what this team was going to be. But, you know, that was predicated on his star player, the guy at the very center of it all, you know, exhibiting that as well and radiating it to the teammates. They feed off of Joel, whether he, you know, intends that or not. That's just the nature of a team and a star player. They feed off him, and the ripple effect of that affects everyone. So if they see Joel kind of on the court shrugging and you know, just some body language sometimes and just not engaging and not being the shot blocker for long periods of games now, unlike the way he was in his first 2 years in the league, they're going to feel that. And that it affects their level of, you know, frenetic almost. You want that defense to be for large periods of games. And it just, that just ripples off. There's no way around it. And I mean, it's interesting too, because, you know, it's a kind of in some ways, there's some similarities between what happened in Philly with Larry Brown and Allen Iverson. Iverson was the core player, the central figure in the drama. And Larry Brown was a coach who was all about, as you well know, playing the right way, practicing the right way. Everything is about doing it the right way. It's how you did it, how you went about it day by day, added up to where you were going to be at the end. And Iverson bought into none of that. And so you had this incredible conundrum, you know, and that was so fascinating to me that I did a long story about those two and that partnership.
Yes.
And they went as far as you could possibly go. I mean, it was unbelievable that when you had that total paradox at the center of a team, that you could go that far despite it. But it ultimately was always going to betray them and trip them in the end. And that's what you kind of feel about this team, that, yeah, they should, you know, go far with this array of talent, but there's still this paradox at the center of it.
But you know,
maybe two paradoxes. There's actually two paradoxes.
Well, it's funny.
Anyway,
no, but you're right. And we're talking to Gary Smith, incredible, incredible writer. There's two of them. So there's two flawed, you know, stars, superstars here. So you have Allen. Imagine if you had another Allen, right, who had his own flaws. So you have these two guys, and you chronicle Joe and some of his, you know, shortcomings. And even in that Players Tribune, in that piece where, did you see it?
I have not read it yet. Is there a sentence you want to hang this on? I'm going to read it.
Because it's kind of stuff we talked about. He really plays, you know, that stuff with Shaq and Charles. He played them. He basically played them. Like, yeah. Like,
in the piece?
Yes. And he's like, listen, I'll never be, you know, it's 2020. He's basically saying, listen, old man, this game, you don't recognize this game. This is how it should be. And he's trying to paint the picture of the game in 2020. And then you have the whole band who is tough, who you can count on every night, who is a great defensive player. Think about this for a second. He's the exact opposite of Allen Iverson, right? He's tall.
Yeah.
He's an incredible defender. He's at practice. He is a passer, right?
Yeah.
The only thing he doesn't do.
Defensive intensity, unlike Iverson.
Right.
However, the warriorship and the crunch of games, you know. And,
right. Well, he don't have the stones that AI had in that sense. Right. But he's as tough as AI, and he'll play, you know, as long as AI will. He's got the same, you know, Energizer Bunny kind of, only at 6'10".
Yeah.
Except he won't shoot.
He won't shoot, and in the fourth quarter of the game, especially close games. I mean, if we're not being able to see this on the road against, you know, the Mavericks or the Pacers, how the hell are we going to see a guy who's ready to step up and to the moment in the fourth quarter of an NBA, you know, playoff game, or God forbid, a champion, you know, finals round? You know, down one, 30 seconds left, you got the ball. You know, at this point, the opposition could basically forget about him, you know, or decide to foul him at some point. But anyway, let's not go there too. But anyway, you know, because he's not taking the steps toward learning how to own that
yes.
moment and step into that moment. If we saw those steps, you know, even baby steps, you know, in that direction in a fourth quarter in crunch time, we could start to have a little more confidence. But
yes,
because he hasn't given us even a little tiny taste of that, like, how the hell can you, you know, go into this thing with anything but deep unease?
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Deep unease, except when they're together, right? And they're mm-hmm. playing, and they're playing against the Bucks, and it's Christmas Day, and everything's going well. They're telling.
Yeah, but right now, but they're showing us that they're a front running team. They can catch a wave and ride away.
Yeah.
There's so many, you know, the NBA playoffs are like these little. It's like these little, it's a microwave and ties like back and forth, and everything is gut churning, and it's tight. The defense on both sides is tight. It's like a game where your poise, your toughness, your discipline to know who you are and to run it despite adversity and to ride through adversity. It's not riding a wave of 18,000 people going wild while you make a steal and you come down on the break and you slam it. And it's like, it's just not that creature. So, You start to show that you can handle that creature, that playoff beast, when you go on the road in front of an enemy crowd and you don't have these huge lapses and you own last 3 minutes of games, or at least show that you're capable in those moments. And it's not a hot potato with the ball being jacked up with 1 second left on the shot clock. I mean, that's what we're not seeing. So that's why it's so hard, despite their definite should be advantage over every team that play in the Eastern Conference. We don't see any of those things that we know deep down are the make or break aspect of playoff basketball.
And you're right. Everything you say, you're dead on. There's only one little caveat, is that mm-hmm. we saw glimpses last year in the playoffs. So let's go to Brooklyn. The game one, Ben was horrible in game one. He got booed. He got ripped. And he got mad yeah. afterwards. He complained about the fail. Oh, he got
right.
he was, a,
that,
he was
yeah.
a baby after it. But what
yeah.
did he do?
Yeah.
He responded in a big way. He had a great game. He responded against Toronto, the eventual champion. They had their ups and downs in the series, and think about it. Their best player who failed them by not even playing in a game because of his stomach and Chick-fil-A yeah. and staying up yeah. too late or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or it takes four bounces in Kawhi Leonard to beat him. Or else they're going to beat Milwaukee, they're going to beat in the finals, and who knows? The injuries that happened to Golden State befall them too again. I don't know. They're that close to being a champion.
Ben can unfurl a great game, but it'll probably be for at this point, the evidence says it's going to be a front first half loaded great
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all know that, you know, half of these playoff games or a third of them at least are going to come down to just nut crunching time. And it's, you know, where will he be? Have we seen him just come forward in that moment? And so that, you know, that's one of the great questions. You know, will Embiid be in shape, you know, going into the playoffs? Will we just see him lumbering back and forth in a way that we didn't see him always lumbering in the first 2 years in the league? Will he be quick off his feet? The fast twitch on the shot blocking, which we've seen a decrease in, you know. So anyway, question after piled upon question.
I know. Where does the playoff run last year rank? Or mean, what does it mean in heading to this year? Like, what?
Well, but I mean, but I think one of the big differences, and you made, you know, you said some good, you know, some good stuff, but Jimmy and Reddick. I mean, Reddick is a tough warrior. I mean, the guy, he missed a decent amount of late game shots. You know, let's not go into idyllic, you know, nostalgia about him, but you never feel like he's shrinking from taking the shot. He's battle tested. And he'll give you some grit on defense, even though he won't give you defensive talent. But Butler's fearless. I mean, not having the fearless guy in that last second, who's totally unafraid of going to the foul line, totally afraid of, you know, having the ball in his hands and putting it on the floor. It's a little bit of a pit in the gut, you know, and I'm sure it is in the coaches.
Pit. You're right. It is a pit in the gut. You're right. I that part, as I think about it now, and it's true, unless, you know, like Tobias, you know, where do these other guys fit in? Supporting cast.
I totally get your question. And it's like the supporting cast is still, these are the new guys on the block, relatively, and, you know, there's part of them, there's still some reticence you can feel about, I just try to step in and own this.
Yes.
I mean, some of them, they're not totally built to step in and own it. I mean, Tobias is a wonderful player, but he doesn't have the dynamo, you know, he's just not dynamic enough offensively to, like, definitely create a shot, whether it's from 25 or to the basket whenever he wants, or especially in those late game crunch situations where the defense is just, like, clamped. And obviously Horford's not that kind of player either. They both could do well in those last couple of minutes and give you something important. But I think the guys on the edges of this still know. And then you, as a player, you pick this up in a million different ways in an organization. Who the two big daddies are.
You pick it up
so many ways.
Yes.
You know, just from people in the front office, people even the kids who are helping out, you know, in the locker room, like it just exudes in every which way. These two players get what they want. And you just pick that up and it becomes very hard to walk into a new franchise for in the first year or even the second year and have even a little tiny question. Where's the line that I'm not supposed to cross, or where, what's my territory? What's the big dog's turf? And I'm not really supposed to go there.
As you can see, like, you know, Tobias basically said that. He basically said it's and then you have Horford, who doesn't know where he's supposed to be.
Right. And you know that, so you got this question of, these are questions of identity. Who do we go to and what do we do? What do we know, or how to, you know, where we butter our toast, and, you know, what kind of bread we're using in crunch time. And because Embiid is continually disappearing for injury and then coming back in, you know, way less than ideal physical condition, the team can never forge, like, this is our identity. You know, I think they will have a defensive identity, and that's the one point of confidence, is I do believe in those playoff rounds they will come out with defensive intensity, and teams will wither at teams on the perimeter. There's open threes and things they're used to getting. You know, and the Sixers, when they turn that intensity on, they even take away the pick and roll out there on the perimeter in a way that they don't when they're in lapsing and just kind of going through the motion mode. So they're going to, that's the one, probably my biggest point of confidence, is that teams offensively and guys who even come out smoking in the first quarter, like we've seen Kemba Walker, but by the fourth quarter, those guys often have disappeared from the games. And so that's my greatest point of confidence. But we all know in our hearts that there's even, despite that defensive intensity, that there are going to be tight games despite it. And it's going to come down.
It'll be white knuckle.
Yes.
It'll be white knuckle.
So, you know, can this team be good enough to win defensively, that their dominance and advantage on defense with, you know, 48 blistering moments of intensity on that end, can that overcome the deep identity problems this team has offensively, and the lack of dynamism offensively, and the lack of of a creature, a guy who just doesn't care about missing foul, or just is just, you know, just fearless and is willing to miss in the last minute.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.